Well, we talked yesterday about the complexity of Judas, and just by way of reminder, he is a rather complex person, very difficult to figure out. I mean, certainly like Peter, like John, he has experienced Jesus' love and wisdom, his teaching. Surely, there's something that kind of must have gotten to him about that teaching, at least at first. Surely, seeing Jesus' exorcisms and miracles, he knows that, this is an extraordinary man, greater than any prophet in the history of Israel. And yet his actions, despite all of that, it's almost impossible to figure out. People just spilled more ink on Judas, trying to figure out, well, why did he do it? And as I said yesterday, some have thought, well, he was just plain greedy. Really? I don't, that just 30 pieces of silver just doesn't seem, for a guy who's holding the purse and can steal money from it at will, and probably did. That's probably not the whole motive, but maybe it's part of the motive. Part of the motive seems to be as well that the message that Jesus is preaching somehow is not resonating with Judas. He's internally fighting it. And maybe that's part of the reason too, that, what Jesus is saying, Judas just cannot abide. It's just something for him, impossible to accept. A third reason that I talked about yesterday that it seems to me is another possible reason is that Judas may actually be a zealot, and this always seemed like a possibility to me because people of his ilk, he could well have been, looking forward to the freedom of Israel from Rome. And of course, if he has these very, very patriotic tendencies, right, he's got this, desire to see Israel liberated from the Roman Empire. And he's hearing Jesus say day after day, my kingdom is not of this world. Don't want to get into the politics. Came here to call human beings to repentance, came here to talk about the mercy of God, came here to talk about the unconditional love of God. Don't want to get into the kingdom here. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is my Father's kingdom in the next world, and I'm his son. And Judas is listening to this, and he's going, this isn't the message I want to hear. I need to hear something concrete, like we're going to kick these darn Romans out of here. We need a Judas Maccabeus, and Jesus isn't living up to the expectation. And so he decides, both because maybe there's some greed involved, maybe there's some disappointment in the message involved, but also maybe there's a hope that he can force Jesus to do what Jesus doesn't want to do, namely force a confrontation with the Romans. And of course, then it's Jesus' power versus Roman power. And maybe he can, of course, generate this thing that he really wants, this kind of, confrontation. But seemingly, he goes through with this plan. And to me, that sounds like the reason. Because when he sees that his plan and the planned confrontation with the Romans isn't going to happen, when he sees that Jesus is taken and he, of course, is abused, and all of a sudden it just comes back to him, the horror of what he has done, he commits suicide. And, of course, when he does this, he's in despair. And what could have provoked the despair except, of course, that what he thought would happen didn't happen. Trying to force Jesus to do something he did not want to do, to become somebody he did not want to become, not willing to accept the message that he had heard, but wants Jesus to give a counter message that, of course, is much more secular, that's much more, of course, of this world. Something like that, it seems to me, is provoking this man to this incredibly horrible act, which in turn leads to the desperate act of the killing of himself. It's in stark contrast to everything we hear from Jesus and everything in that letter to the suffering servant song of Isaiah. In stark contrast to it. But of course, therein lies the warning to everyone, certainly including myself. You got to listen to Jesus, follow his way, instead of listening to Spitzer and following his way, because the Spitzer way doesn't always correspond to the Jesus way. And of course, Jesus is right. And I just got to keep reminding myself, I can't push him to what he isn't. He is got, you know, leading me to where I need to go. And of course, you know, we all look at this and go, that rotten Judas. And I'm hoping it's, ooh, boy, Lord, spare me from this, because I know I'm a pushy guy and I'm always trying and working another angle. You know, there but for the grace of God go I, keep leading me. And if I get out of line, take the 2x4 and give me it in the side of the head. And of course, I think that's a better prayer. And for all intents and purposes, it'll keep me honest. Because, you know, the more pushy we are, the more, of course, we can try and make Jesus do something he doesn't want to do, which he's not going to do. And of course, that's the end of that. And as I say, I've said my piece and I'm sticking to it.